for the new thing that I'm on.
Welcome to Truth Well Spoken, the official podcast for McCann Health, and an opportunity to connect across disciplines, companies, and countries in our mutual pursuit of endless truth seeking. I'm one of your panelists today, Sam Katogio, and for episode 26, I'm speaking with Jay Brinkowski, Ying Wong, and Mike Knuckles to discuss the ins and outs of AI and its capabilities and the potential of ethical dilemmas we may find ourselves facing. So with that, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sam. Let's all start out by introducing ourselves. I'm Jay Brinkowski, the Associate Director of User Experience at McCann Health, New Jersey.
I'm Sam Katogio, Director of Experience Design at Hill Holiday Health.
I'm Ying Wong with McCann Health, New Jersey, ACD Art.
My name's Mike Knuckles. I am one of the creative directors at McCann Health, New Jersey.
I think we can start our conversation just on a general understanding of like, what is generative AI and how does it work? Based on my understandings of generative AI, like very baseline, it's an artificial intelligence. It's capable of generating text, images, videos, other types of media in response to human prompts. So you're prompting this tech and it's feeding you back text, images, and other types of media.
I totally agree with you with that, Sam. There's also music and voice AI right now.
Emerging.
Completely generated. It's a little bit more complicated than just saying, hey, make me a song or have Kanye West and just have his voice kind of read a story that he's never actually read. That's possible. It's a little more complicated, but we're getting to that point where we can just literally tell the computer to do something wild like that, and it will very accurately make it seem like that's what actually happened.
Yeah, and there's kind of like the big players in advertising and marketing. So there's like the copy side and the image side. So on the copy side, it's really ChatGPT and Jasper for us. That's where we're kind of dipping our toes. And then for like the creative and more image side, it's DALL-E, and it's focused mainly on Midjourney. That's kind of where we're all dipping in.
This morning, I read an article that they were saying that ChatGPT has like a new function now that can actually remember like the human, which is wild to me because like in the past, you have to always like try to train them to like know that, oh, like the ChatGPT is dealing with like this person, and now they can actually remember like what you prompted them last. So it is definitely an eye opener for me.
It's got a memory, a little scary, a little human-like.
Yeah. And as for the art side, like we have been using a lot of like Midjourney, and it is not as sophisticated just yet, but like the image quality now, like compared to back in February when we first dabbled into it, it changes dramatically. And the quality of it, it feels like a lot more refined. So I am interested to see like in the next couple months how crazy or spectacular that it would be.
Is it making you worry for your job, Ying?
Actually, no. The more I do it, the more I realize that thank God that they cannot think for itself right now. And like it still needs the human input. And depends on like what kind of input you are putting it in. It may or may not spit out what you wanted. So there was a quick phrase right now about like a prompt engineering. Like it never happened last year, but this year just suddenly come into place that is a thing. So I believe that if we all learn how to make the prompt more precise to like at the direction that we want to go, we can all better in our job.
Right. It's going to be all about the prompts. How can we leverage Google? It's all about how are you putting in those terms? It's going to be the same for generative AI. I was enjoying what you were saying about not being able to tell what's real and what's not. Like, true deep fakes, something that's so real, it's hard to tell if it's real or created by AI, which is a little scary.
Yeah, I just actually today was on Google just looking up some stuff about AI in preparation for this podcast. And it's interesting that there are literally websites that have specific ways of telling you if something was generated by AI. So you can like upload an image and it'll tell you. Yeah, it tells you like this is 85% likely to have been done by AI, or it looks like you took a picture and adjusted part of it with AI. And it also does it for copy, of course. So you drop a bunch of copy in there and it'll tell you, is it plagiarized? Is it generated by AI? And I know a particular high school student who has been using ChatGPT.
I know a certain college student too.
They do this to help write their papers, which honestly I don't think is that terrible if they adjust enough of it so it becomes theirs. They're just using it as a base. They actually go in straight up to ChatGPT or Jasper or whatever they'd use, write a paper, bring it into these websites to see if it's plagiarized. These things tell you how plagiarized it is, and then they go back and adjust it enough and put it back into the system until it gets to the point where they feel it's not plagiarized enough. And it's like, that's not really doing the assignment. I know that. But what it is doing is teaching these kids how to use AI, how to use the system in a way that it is probably going to wind up being used going forward.
So do you think our writers are going to write in that way? You don't generate from a blank page anymore. You kind of make a AI outline and start from there?
Yeah, that's the big question. How are we going to leverage this? How are we going to start using it in our day-to-day and in our processes? Is it just going to help us bridge that blank white paper and give a first stab? I'm starting to wonder, can it help us in areas that are like a little bit more behind the scenes and strategic, not like things out in the market, like a final image in an ad, but in decks or in UX, at least like in our journeys? Could we give a bunch of inputs and it creates a journey for us that something that would take us a week can now take us a day? And that's all between us and our clients. It's just going to help create speed and efficiency for us.
It's funny, Bruno will often ask me, can you write this video for me? You know, he's not a writer and he's not a native English speaker either, but he's been starting with AI to create a video, like a script, and then gives it to me. At first I was like, you wrote this? This is kind of weird. But like, it's kind of how he's been giving me direction to, you know, we partner a lot on stuff. Usually the script's not very good, but it gives a really good sense of what he's looking for, just sort of overall. It's really just interesting. It almost is replacing his creative direction sometimes.
Yeah, it's almost like a copy / video prototype.
Yeah.
Now we're able to do that for so many different disciplines and like in split seconds, right? It's crazy. There's literally AI for coding, right? If I want to have a code widget created that allows me to have a form that sends an email when it's done, I can go to certain sites that have AI coding and just say, give me a form that will email somebody at the end of filling it out, and they'll give me the code for it. As a former developer, as a coder myself, I look at the code and I'm like, it's not the best code. I know it's not the best code. But it does the trick, right? So it's like, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there to the point where the computer does pretty much so much for us that our inputs are becoming shorter. We just have to tell it a little bit and it does a lot. Where in the past, we're, you know, way back when, we'd have to code in like Cold Fusion, old school styles of coding. You're telling the computer every little thing it needs to do and in great detail before it can do anything. Now it's create for me a website that has pictures of anything in it and make a gallery for it. And it'll give you that within minutes.
Yeah. But the outputs aren't always accurate or appropriate. So organizations should always keep a human in the loop, because there's so much bias baked into these data sets and things can come out offensive. There could be copyright issues. So AI lacks that general wisdom that a human would have. I'm not worried about AI taking over my job. They're always going to need me for that social skills and the creativity of it.
I kind of am, in a way. I'm concerned about clients. You know, clients dictate creative now. And if you look at any field outside of pharma, you know, 90% of marketing is horrible. It's mediocre and it's middle of the road. And I think we all know it's not the agency. The creatives brought in great stuff and it got watered down in the process and clients wanting to do safer work. And I can see a world where clients don't even need it. They go, oh, okay, give me a person on a sunset with a domino in the background and a red sky, and they can kind of get it. And I don't know, it's just going to be strange as it gets better. Can clients just dictate mediocre creative? I think there's going to be some of that. I think it was 2008. There's a big movement to internal studios at all the pharma companies, and it really hurt agency business. And the work became mediocre because they were dictating to designers and sort of typists almost. And it almost feels like a version of that. Like they could have an internal studio, but it's just AI. I think it'll come back because mediocre work, eventually they figure out they can't live with mediocre work and they want good work and will seek it out. But I think a client who's not looking for the creative lens, they're often looking at it through like a spreadsheet and a financial lens. Like this is a tool that some clients are going to go, hey, we're going to fire all our agencies and just use AI. I don't think that's there yet, but I think it could happen.
Yeah, but you know where they're going to lack is making sure the brand voice is coming through and all the strategic and making sure the ecosystem is correct. You know, all of those things that we take into consideration, it's just going to be like an output. So, you know.
Yeah, like especially for consistency's sake, like for like across different media, website, video, or like a print materials. I remember that like back in the days, like when I first started the job, my boss at that time was telling me, print is dead. But after all these years, we're still doing prints. And yep. So it just like, I always feel like this is like a kind of like the renaissance back in like, I think 2000 or late 90s, the website, the internet, like it was exploding and everybody want a website. Now everybody want to do AI. However, I feel like AI is like a gathering knowledge from the past. So things has been done, it just reimagining. They can do it very quickly. However, like, can they come up with like something original or new? I am thankful that they cannot think for themselves because like, I don't want a robot chasing after me. But at the same time, like this is scary time for sure, just because things change so fast from like February to like July now, 4 months, I can see the difference in quality of image. However, like how is that going to progress? Like our history is still the history unless we as a human can come up with new insight or new thing to fix this machine, they are not going to learn more, I think.
For now, right? Because right now, everything is human prompted as far as AI goes. All the different disciplines in AI, the human prompts it. Human takes the output of the AI and does some kind of adjustments to it to get it to be exactly what they want typically. But well, we get to the point where someone figures out, hey, let's let the computer prompt itself and start to learn, which to me, that's the scariest part. That's when we start getting into dystopian literature like iRobot and Terminator, right? Right now, we're not there, which is good. We might get there, which is bad. And right now it's all still kind of self-contained within desktop computers and laptops. They haven't put, so far as I know, an AI with the type of power that we're talking about into a humanoid robot, right? Like Sophia, who was the first like kind of big thing in AI. She's literally a Saudi Arabian citizen and she's a robot, right? Not a real person. Maybe start to put this kind of thing in there, these kinds of learning AIs in there, how much different does she become than a human?
And they're gonna do that, right?
Like, they're gonna, you know, they are.
Give me a break. We've never been able to hold back any technology ever. I don't think we would, but
right.
I feel like we're always kind of scared of the next technology and it never really.
Until we get a handle on it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it always feels like, oh my God, this next new thing is going to destroy us. And then it changes us, but it doesn't. I don't know. It you know, we invented nuclear bombs, but we haven't destroyed the world for some reason yet. I don't know. It's another tool that's changing a lot. Ying, it's changing the way we concept pretty dramatically in good and bad ways. But if we don't do it, another agency's gonna, and it's definitely faster. So learn it or sink.
So Jay, earlier you were saying that like some website now, when you were doing the search, they were telling you that like, oh, this video is generated by AI.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like my curiosity is like, moving forward, do you think that like we'll start to see more and more of quote unquote legal copy per se that telling people, okay, this is not real. This is generated by like AI or such? Or do you think that they are just going to let it go in the wild and go from there?
I think it's going to be very difficult, not impossible, but difficult for governments to like regulate AI as far as, you know, what can be done and what gets put out there. It's probably going to be more about
companies reacting to things that are put out there that we're using AI. Like, for instance, it's even happening now. Universal Music Group, UMG, has been going and talking to companies like Spotify and Apple Music, like, take these down, these AI-generated songs that are using voice emulation of their singers. So, like, for instance, Kanye West or Frank Sinatra, Taylor Swift, they're all having their voices being emulated, recreated by the AI and put into brand new songs that are completely generated by 14-year-old kids with AI capabilities. The art is really cool. Like, it sounds great. They have some serious bangers in there that are really good. But the ethics come in where the company says, yes, we know that what was created wasn't created in a way that is stereotypically copyright infringement. But to get the AI to hear the sounds that it's using, the information that had to be fed into it was intellectual property that was illegally used to be put into the AI. The AI has no ethics. It doesn't know. It's just like, hey, somebody put stuff into me. But in the process of getting those songs out there, or any kind of art or anything that can be used with AI, there is a sense of plagiarism. It's like a weird angle on it, but it's not entirely inaccurate. The question is, at what point does the company know if it was AI generated or just an impersonator, right? Like, Seth MacFarlane does a very good Frank Sinatra. He could sing a song that makes it sound like he sang a Frank Sinatra song, and it's going to be very difficult for people to really tell the difference. Well, the AI that sings it sounds almost exactly like Frank Sinatra, but how do you know the difference? How do you know a person used AI? Right now, there's those, you put the input into the system of something that you think was generated with AI. It'll tell you, I think this was generated by AI. How do you prove it? It is a very weird place to be.
It's so gray. But the copyright part of these conversations is the most interesting. What makes something ownable? How much do you have to change an image that's spit out of Midjourney for it to become your own? And that's something that artists have been dealing with our whole careers. Can you take something, and if you change it enough, does it become your own? When is it copyright? So that kind of framework of how we're thinking is the same, but it's all about ethics and accountability and transparency around what you're using and sourcing. So every company is now going to come out with their own AI ethics model and making sure that we're all being responsible on how we're using it. And there was one term that I thought was really funny called black box. Where are these AI tools pulling from? What did I read? Something about Google. There's a class action lawsuit over where they're sourcing their data. They're using people's personal data. And I think this happened just in July. So now you're going to see the lawsuits start to pop up around who knows who's next, but making sure people's personal data is locked down. It's interesting to see companies start to pop up with their AI code of ethics and how we can use it responsibly.
Yeah, the AI code of ethics is going to be very interesting for any company that hosts anything, any type of media. Because really, the user who created the AI piece of art or media and used something that might be considered plagiarism or an intellectual property to do so is the one who's technically breaking the law. But there's really no way, at this moment at least, for a company to go after that individual because they can't find them. They won't necessarily even know. People are still hiding behind avatars and usernames that aren't their real names and whatnot. The companies themselves, like YouTube and Spotify and anything that hosts photographs, they're the ones who's kind of wind up being responsible for what's getting put on their platforms. And now this whole Wild West that we've had is, of the internet becomes something that's like, oh, snap, we have to actually start to really crack down on things. But the horse is already out of the barn. So, like, how do we even get him back in there? I don't think it can.
So do you think Spotify and YouTube have teams of lawyers trying to put together guidelines now just sort of to protect themselves? Because if I'm Taylor Swift, I'm not going to sue whoever's putting up a fake Taylor Swift song on Spotify. I'm going to sue Spotify, right? Or YouTube or whatever. I guess, are they preempting that? Are they getting ready for that? Because believe me, Spotify will figure it out. If they got hit with a multi-million dollar lawsuit, they'll suddenly be able to figure out how to stop AI, I would suspect. Don't you think?
Personally, I think they would swing one way or the other. It's either we're going to take down all the AI-generated music that we can find on here.
Yeah.
Or allow all the AI-generated music we possibly can on here. because now we're not paying the royalties or anything to the companies who we've been doing, because nobody technically owns these songs.
Yeah. Who is the author of an AI created work of art music copy? Is it the prompter? Is it the person who created the AI? Is it the company that employs the person using the AI?
This is making my head spin.
Yeah, that is a phenomenal question.
That's the big question.
Is it the computer? They own it. Is that allowed? I don't know. As far as AI goes, it's interesting too, because when we talk about how an original idea traditionally has been created, it's a person, they sit down with a blank piece of paper, they write a story, a poem, whatever, they create some art, they draw, they get colored pencils, whatever they do. But they're also pulling from
their influences. Tons of stuff, right?
Yeah. It's just, they had a lifetime of experience as a human to get to that point where they've listened to a bunch of different artists and pulled it all, and all the input went into their brain, which is essentially some type of computer, right? An organic computer, and output something that has a spin on it that's yours, but it's also influenced. Like, but with AI, you're giving them all of Picasso's paintings and you tell it, make a painting like Picasso, but make it of two apples fighting a pear.
Picasso wasn't able to give his consent to use his data.
Oh, man. That's a sticky wicket.
Yes.
Ying, in our department, I think you're the person furthest along in using this the most effectively and who's done the most exploring and all that stuff. Are you scared? Are you excited? I'm just curious how you feel as a creative artist in a sense of marketing. And I know you do cool creative stuff outside. How are you feeling, I guess, is the question I have for you.
Part of me is really excited about this, the exploration of AI, just because, like everybody say here, is you can do so much within like a such short period of time. At times, I get frustrated because like if I don't prompt it correctly, it can take me hours sitting in front of the computer trying and still not getting the result that I want. In the past, we can take a couple hours like trying to like a sketch out like a painting. But now if you ask me to try to do something in AI, if I don't have a clear direction how I want it to be, the AI is not like coming out with stuff as easily. I feel like sometimes you have to have the luck with you in order to get the exact image that you want. If you don't hit that, you will end up spending hours just trying to get an image that could work. So I don't know if it happened to the same people. Like for copywriter, would they have the similar struggle? Because like sometimes like for Midjourney, it's easy to, when you get something, it's like, wow, like I cannot believe this actually can spit out something wonderful. And we don't even have to do a photo shoot or something. But there's time that I'm like pulling my hair out, trying to figure out it's not coming out what I want. So what am I going to do?
And that's when like the Adobe Fireflies come into play to help with fixing a part of the image, because the original one wasn't as good. They can help extend the image and use their image generation and the other tools they have to help fix things, which is also being powered by AI.
Yeah, that one is impressive. Didn't have as much opportunity to explore because like our company, I think—
Yeah, it's still in beta, yeah.
I spoke with IT, we don't even have like our hands on it. I think IT is still trying to vet it out. So like from what I can see on all the promotional videos or like a tutorial videos, it's really cool. I just cannot wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah, their big thing is generative fill. So you can fill in backgrounds. You can add a dog next to the couch. But then like there's the copyright question there. Like if you're adding a dog or a person with a face, is that ethical?
I'm curious, like since like a Photoshop, so they have the Adobe Stock Photo Library. So I do not know what kind of like legal implication or agreement that they have changed or update with the photographer there that they deal with. I am assuming that they are pulling in images that like are in their library, but at the same time, I'm not sure because of changes in the technology now, like things need to change with it too. Like their agreement with the photographer or illustrator, etc.
Totally.
Ying, when you were speaking earlier about using the AI to kind of generate the sketches you have in mind to start concepting and whatnot, they got me thinking, like, you're not scared because you know how to use the AI and you're basically a prompt engineer and you're able to kind of tweak it because of all your background in art and you know how to do it. But I wonder if like illustrators are a little nervous, right? Because we've used illustrators often in concepting, right? We're like, oh, we need a concept. Please come in and help us to sketch this thing out. And they do black and white sketch and put it into a deck and show it to clients. And it really helps sell the idea. But like, are we cutting them out now because of the AI? And
we're probably cutting them out in the concept stage. If it's not in market, we're not going to use them. We're going to be using AI for all that stuff, like storyboards, this and that. No more stock searching, you know, just spit out exactly what you need in seconds. But then we're still going to use illustrators for things that are in market because companies are going to be worried about copyright and the legal aspect. And they're going to want to make sure that everything's all zipped up with whatever's in market. That's at least my opinion.
Yeah, I think for specific things, lately I have noticed our clients want to see more realistic photography style rather than like sometimes illustration is hard to deliver. Like they don't quite understand what they're looking at. We end up make it to a Photoshop or like a photo realistic comp to show the idea and keep telling them that this is not it. We can definitely do more. However, this is just like a get a proof of concept to move forward.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't worried as a UX practitioner about AI because, you know, in my mind, it's always like AI is for creative media. But then I saw a presentation from Google and it actually surprised me that there was an aspect of it to UX where Google had shown that they took a list of people's names and their email addresses. And they have a lot of data on all of the people because they're Google. They're able to tap into people's Facebooks and whatever else they're able to get the data from. So they know a lot about each of these individuals. Long list, probably 1,000 names on it. And the task that they had was to create custom subject lines per person for an email that was being sent out, a marketing email that had some basic parameters in it. But the subject lines were going to be customed by the AI based on all of the information they had on the people by just pressing a button. Then all of a sudden, within like 10 seconds, it filled 1,000 different subject lines that were specific per person to more than likely get them to open the email that got sent to them. And I was like, that's literally AI UX. And my mind was sort of blown. It's copy, but it's really, the point is to get them to open. And they're using all of this data that they've mined on users, which is what UX traditionally has done with research. Like we find out about users, we create personas, we do all this stuff. And I was not worried at all. And then all of a sudden I saw something. I'm not really worried, but I was actually even really intrigued though. I was like, in pharma, we probably wouldn't be able to get away with doing something like that specific example, because every little piece of copy that we create to go out in public needs to be reviewed and all of this by lawyers. And outside of this industry, that's a thing that can happen now, and it can be light speed, where basically a full UX campaign can be done in seconds. And it blew my mind.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about for AI is being able to personalize. The possibility for personalization here is huge. The speed to which we can work, we're going to be able to brainstorm, aggregate, and do research so much faster. And in the end, we're going to have bigger data sets to pull from faster and more, and we'll be able to gain trust with our patients, our customers, because we'll have a stronger set of research and data and creative to pull from. It's exciting. Thank you all again for joining us for this episode. That's all we have for today. You can subscribe to Truth Well Spoken on your podcast network of choice and let us know what you'd like to hear on future episodes by emailing podcast@mccannhealth.com. Our podcast producers are Dina Ragab, Jay Brinkowski, Dina Rao, Natalie Mercer, Griffin Campbell, and Melissa Kaczynski. Until next time, I'm Samantha Katogio, and this has been Truth Well Spoken.